Welcome to Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me as always is Mork. If you've never listened to Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain, you may wonder why we call it Got Your Milk. And that's because in the very first episode, F kept drinking milk to prove that he was no longer an alcoholic. Since then, not so much milk, more UV lights, more worms, more bureaucracy.
More awkward iPhone filming while also shooting monsters.
You got to multitask. With hand, I'll fire the nail gun. With the other hand, I'll... Out of the way, Abraham. I'm filming this with my iPhone.
You know, normally I think Apple does a really good job with their marketing, but right. I think this is a really good use of the iPhone camera, and I haven't noticed this in any of their ads.
No, you would think.
I think they're missing the boat on this. This is a huge market.
You know, it's always like you're not just going to enjoy, you're also going to create with the iPhone.
Exactly.
And here, F was creating a video to show Everett.
He absolutely was. And the entire country, probably the world, yes. is going to be filled with monsters for people to film and then try to shoot.
It's an exploding marketplace.
Tim Cook, you are no Steve Jobs.
Mork, let me stop you right there. We've got to get to a word from our podcast sponsor.
Are you tired of having sex? Never ever want to deal with the pain, hassle, or aggravation of making sweet love? Bolivitra from the Stoneheart Group will speed up the onset of BPS. You won't have to worry about being ready when the moment is right. Tell your doctor about all your medical conditions and try not to eat them. Seek immediate medical help if your penis clogs the toilet after it falls off. And don't take this drug if you're standing on top of a tall building.
Bolivitra. Well, Mork, that was our first sponsor. It's great to be paid to do a podcast, don't you think?
I'm sorry, I was just... Is there any water here that I could wash down this pill with?
Excellent. You know, Mork, we should point out, last week we read two reviews we got on iTunes. We got another great review. Thank you so much.
Oh,
on iTunes, we got a review from somebody called JBro399.
The best JBro there is.
He's my favorite. My favorite. He titled the review great. He gave us 5 stars. Thank you so much.
For each and every star.
And he says, great podcast. Love the humor. Almost as excited for the podcast as I am for the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, JBro399.
Thanks, JBro. You're the best looking listener we have this week.
And JBro, let me say, I think your kind review actually convinced Mork to subscribe to the podcast and finally listen to it.
I'm not very good at the technology, so thanks for showing me how it's done, JBro.
All right, so this episode is, we believe, episode 5 of season 1, entitled Runaways. Why do you think this episode was entitled Runaways, Judd?
I have no idea.
I don't either. Is it possible that Nora's mother was trying to run away from the retirement home? And is it possible that, the rich, powerful lawyer, she's turning into a monster. And so the au pair, the nanny, is like, come on, kids, we're getting the hell out of here. They're running away.
I don't, no offense to that nanny. I don't know if she qualifies for au pair anymore.
Yeah, it's more like, triplets, she's big. Not a pair, it's more like
a
dozen.
I think an au pair is somebody who you'd like to find sunbathing nude.
Oh, I
think that's the technical definition.
This is very rude of you, Judd. You'd only like to find somebody sunbathing nude who looks attractive?
Yes, that is true.
All right, so any other reason why this would be called Runaways? Mork.
Thank you. I don't know. I mean, the rats are running away.
Good point. Our Russian exterminator, he saw the monsters, he ran away. Everybody's running away.
He ran away. There's all sorts of, I don't know. I think this episode needed to be called The Runaways, much like our podcast needed to be called Got Your Milk.
Right. They named it before they really watched the episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so we begin every episode of Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast, by giving it a rating system. We can say, like, out of 10, how many UV lights, how many worms, how many Strigoi, the yeah. R, how many cartons of milk it is. So I went first last time. Mork, what did you think of this episode? We haven't talked about it. What did you think of this episode? What rating would you give it?
I got to be honest. I think this was by far the best episode. And I'm going to give it a solid 8.6 bottles of worm-filled milk.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Mork, I got to disagree with you.
Go
to 9.
Oh, no.
9 scrambled eggs eaten at the house of the people you just killed.
You know what else?
This was a fun episode.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. We had decapitations.
We did.
We had
urologists being eaten.
We had eggs and scotch.
Right.
What else does one need?
We had a lot of fun stuff. We've been waiting for this 5th episode where it looks like all hell is breaking loose.
Yeah.
And all hell is breaking loose.
Yeah, it's starting to happen. I mean, you know, I don't know if the missing internet is really going to hurt things that bad. I mean, things are going to go pretty bad pretty quick.
I agree.
Maybe it'll be an issue, but we're down in the sewers, so they could be anywhere in New York. We're up at the nursing home that may or may not be the home.
That was the biggest shock.
Yeah.
Is we've been meeting yet another character in Nora's mom, and I thought, okay, whatever. But then suddenly when there was one of these Strigoi, whatever it is.
Right.
When there one of the monsters there, it was like, oh hell yeah, this infection is growing. And so I really I'm not saying that was my favorite moment of the episode, but that was a big shock I really liked.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. So, Bubba, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is I kept wondering. It was, believe it or not, the nanny grabbing the kids and leaving.
Uh-huh.
And that wasn't certainly as gory or as gross.
Right.
But I kept wondering, because we saw the girl on the plane, she was dead, she became a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I kept wondering how far the show would go.
Right.
And I thought, if they showed this lawyer turning into a monster and devouring her own kids,
right.
I thought that, you know, I was kept wondering, will the show dare go show something like that? They ended up not doing it. But believe it or not, I was just on the edge of my, pants the entire time. So, especially, you know, it began with the nanny upstairs telling the woman, have some tea, go to the hospital.
Right.
The woman saying, no, I won't wait. I've got something in my eye. And then the nanny mm-hmm. seeing the slits. I mean,
the old lizard blink.
That was my favorite thing the whole time. What about you, buddy?
Well, that was actually, now that I think about it, that was pretty good. I didn't think they were going to do it. But, you know, every time I think a lawyer cannot sink any further, I've been proven wrong. I like the opening a lot.
Yeah, great.
And you know, I mean, Abraham is tough to beat.
Amen.
Abraham is tough to beat. So I'm gonna say it's a tie. I did like the fact that, you know, after they killed young little child Arnaud and Mr. Arnaud, her father, that they just spent the night.
Yeah, let's just, you know, we've chopped their heads off.
They just
spent
the
night. We've burnt their bodies in the basement. Now let's hang out here and eat their eggs.
Who wants eggs? Well, the eggs are going to go bad.
Right. I mean, come on. One time.
Yeah.
But then it's not just that you killed them and ate their food. It's that you don't want to leave any dirty dishes.
Nope.
So let's hang out here a bit longer and clean the dishes of these people we killed.
Yeah, we don't have a planet to save.
No.
We got to tidy up because, you know what? It could draw flies.
Okay, so those were some really great scenes, and this was an episode filled with a lot of great scenes.
Absolutely.
So let's go to it. Were there any spoiled milk scenes? Were there any kind of worm rat piss scenes? Were there any scenes in this really good episode you didn't like?
I gotta say, I wasn't wild about the Holocaust flashback scenes. And
great question. Yeah.
You know, because I think it's the kind of thing where, you know, basically the inference is that, well, there was only a few people having a rough time. It was the Holocaust.
Oh, my Lord.
The ones who got eaten. Everyone else was pretty much okay.
Yeah, so, I'm glad you said this. I wouldn't have thought of this. But yeah, it did feel a bit weird in that, you know, the Holocaust is so serious. And this show is kind of a light, fun, scary popcorn thing. And so I did feel a bit odd about tying them together.
I did feel like we were in good hands, though. I mean, who's the one guy... Who's the one guy that would make you that's going to make sure that something like the Holocaust is going to be handled with the sensitivity and the dignity it should be? RoboCop. This episode directed by the great Peter Weller, who did a great job. But I did not love those scenes just because they got a little campy with the master with his hood and running around. You know. So anyway, that's just my own deal. But
all right, my spilled milk, and I have a couple. And the one is that I actually thought it was a bit of a great comedy scene of Abraham and F getting to know each other as they drive in that car and kind of have the complete pointless conversation. And I really was sure Abraham at a certain point was just going to jump out of the car as F goes into this ridiculous long story. He's like, I got this car in Africa.
He doesn't have, no more Kelly. No more Zach.
He doesn't bother to call Zach. He calls Nora twice.
No more Matt from Sears. All he has left is the car.
Amen.
That's all he's got left.
But that really wasn't it. I enjoyed that scene kind of for our two heroes getting together and getting to know each other.
Oh, that was great.
The one minor thing, and you saw I gave this a really high rating. The one minor thing I would give this, and that is that I thought the ending... Like, I didn't think previous episodes were better, but I thought we've had some really good endings. I think this ending of F kind of, he was the rebel CDC doctor, and now the CDC has turned on him, and he walks off into the night. To me, that wasn't as powerful as some of our scary endings.
Oh, yeah.
But because the episode was so good, I was obviously forgiving.
Yeah, I think we're about to hit our stride. I'm very excited. Quick question. Speaking of the car, Bubba, you know, it's big. There's a lot of room in the back. Is it big enough to fit the old coffin?
Ooh,
inside?
Heck, do you Mork, think, so good.
Bubba, you've moved, you've had to move a few people
I have.
Out of your house before. Some of them were in big boxes. Not all of them
were. Sometimes they're in small boxes.
That is true. So should we get right into this episode?
Let's do it. So we're going to break it down kind of by character and story beat, maybe even a bit by location.
Yeah.
And so we jumped around a lot, and you were talking about the opening scene. I thought it was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So Bolivar's manager, he had shown his real doctor.
Wayne.
Right, he showed his real doctor his problem with the junk before it got flushed away.
Right.
So his manager brings in this urologist, and you knew this was trouble right from the start, and yet it paid off quite well, quite scary. Bolivar is dragging her into, I guess, a bathroom or something. He's saying, mine. He's hearing the master whisper to him.
Right.
And it was tense. It was scary. It was exactly the way you want to kick off an episode.
It was great. And, you know, as far as victims go, not much of a loss because...
We barely knew her.
Realistically,
right.
I mean, a urologist who specializes in patients who don't have a penis...
You're saying slim clientele.
I think it's a very, very specific field. I would love to have heard that 911 call, you know, well, what's wrong with him? Well, his wiener fell off. Oh, okay. So, I don't know. I mean...
Now, is it a bit odd, Mork, that Bolivar came down with Bolivar penis syndrome? It's a bit like, why did Lou Gehrig get Lou Gehrig's disease? Bolivar came down with BPS.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
Oh, sure. Okay.
In both of these cases, you know why?
Why?
Both of them were asking for trouble.
they sure were. Bolivar, let me tell you, I'm not saying he was great looking before, but he's looking rough.
He is looking pretty rough. Gabe needs... He needs some vegetables, not just this.
Amen. He does
not just this blood.
He needs some bronzer, for God's sakes.
Oh yeah.
So now, how did you like? And I even thought this was kind of a fun twist. His manager sees him pretty much killing the doctor she brought into him, and her first thought is not to call the cops, but to call up a cleaner to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
This is true. Listen, we're in LA, everybody. You want a good manager, this is kind of the first test you do.
This is not a bad test at all. you'd think that, you know, if Jeffrey Dahmer would have had a manager like this, maybe he could have gone somewhere.
Amen.
Maybe.
But that said, she's trying to cancel the concert. I got a bad feeling that this concert's not going to be canceled. I have a bad, bad feeling.
I think you might be right.
Boulevard in a room. Well, how about this? So she calls the cleaner. The cleaner shows up.
Right.
He's kind of this comical character. Once again, so we're not going to be too upset when he gets BPS himself.
Right.
But he shoots Boulevard. And so we're supposed to believe that, once again, these, I can't even say it, Strigoi?
Strigoi.
Strigoi. So they, because their organs have been changed and they've become this caterpillar, you can't shoot them. They're like worm controlled. And
right.
So Boulevard, you knew he wasn't dead, but it's still a fun scene when he...
That was a lot of fun.
Tongue worms that guy.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, we got to see some good man-on-man.
Wait, what?
So after that...
After that, we have the show opening, and then I believe we go straight to our good buddy, our new odd couple, Abraham and F, eating eggs at the home of the people they just killed.
Right.
So this seems very, very bizarre.
Well, no, I don't think it's
bizarre. No, it's not bizarre?
No, Bubba, I don't think it's bizarre at all. I think in any tale, in any fable where there are monsters, step one, what do? You chop off the heads. Step two, what do you do?
What do you do?
Wash the dishes.
You know what? Keep it clean. What this did a bit was this scene here where they're eating the eggs of the daughter and the father who they just killed.
They weren't actually... These people did not, like...
Right, if they're dead, it's not their eggs anymore.
Well, they weren't their eggs, but it's not like they were, you know, they... What do you call them when you deliver an egg?
I deliver an egg, I'm not a woman. I don't deliver eggs.
Well, you're not. Women don't deliver eggs either.
You mean order up? What?
No, like a chicken.
You hatch when you hatch.
No,
an egg.
Hatch is when the hatch breaks. If anyone knows, please
when you
tweet
drop
us.
An egg. When you drop.
Please
an
tweet
egg.
Us at FITTENTRIM
at Finn Trim on Twitter.
There you go.
But this scene had a lot of exposition. It's where Abraham is saying, hey, there's this master character who we have seen in one episode. We've been through five. He's only really appeared. We've heard him a lot. We've only seen him in the one. Well, I guess you kind of see him all the time when he's this kind of wraith character dissing and peering in background. But he kind of explains all this to F. And one of the things that I do have to think is a bit odd is Abraham's like, I know this is hard to believe. Hold on. You've seen dead people get up from the being dead.
Right.
You've seen people shooting these worm tongues out of your mouth. At a certain point, you know, you don't have to say, boy, this is hard to believe. You're seeing it happen. You know what I mean?
Well, I think F is still going to be a little skeptical.
Very skeptical.
For one very good reason.
What's that?
Male practice lawsuits. If F misdiagnoses
Now, you're not saying malpractice. You're saying male practice. Because lose your penis.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think what we're seeing is a classic case of CYA on F's part.
Amen.
That's why he's not believing.
So this kind of leads us into our flashbacks, which you mentioned you had some trouble with. So let's at least describe these flashbacks while we're here. So we see Abraham and what I believe is his brother and his mother. Is that who these two people are?
Yeah, some other
guy. Being brought to a good
point. Oh, it was a grandmother. Grandmother.
Oh, his grandmother, right. They're being brought to a concentration camp.
Yeah.
One of the evil Nazis leading the concentration camp.
Seems very familiar.
Is very familiar.
He looks like a young Christoph Waltz, in fact.
Now, the question I have for you is, as you see him as the Nazi leader of this camp,
yeah,
is he already a monster or is he about to be turned?
I don't think that he's... I mean, he's already a Nazi, so
you
can't say
bad.
That he's not
he's
already
bad.
On the dark side. But no, I'm going to say no.
Okay, so then we follow them, and they pretend to be carpenters.
Right.
So they can get into a different barrack or group or whatever you want to say. And then at night... The master sneaks in and claims a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last one we went to in this, Abraham's friend gets got.
Right.
And so once again, I'm not so sure about Nazis and concentration camps. I mean, this is, if you've ever been, a couple of years ago, if you've ever been to Germany and seen any of this stuff, this is, you know, this is something you can't make fun of. And tying it to what is, in essence, a very fun, we all love the strain, but a very silly, campy, slash fun, scary, I'm not sure this is appropriate.
Yeah, the tone stuff aside, I also, one of my other complaints about it is, I think part of the fun of a show like this is getting to imagine things.
Right.
And so by showing the birth,
real history. Real
so by
history.
Showing this, instead of getting, Abraham is a great character.
I love it.
Why wouldn't we want to just, I'd love to see him, you know, sit around the campfire and tell some scary stories.
Yeah.
Which would be far scarier, I think, than
we're
seeing. So
I agree. Now, this is Speculation Corner for everybody listening. If you're new to the podcast, we have not read any of these books.
No clue.
That this great show is based on.
I didn't even know there, I did know there were books. But
all right, so let's get into Speculation Corner here, boy.
All right.
In the very first episode, we saw Abraham had that heart in the jar.
Yeah.
Is that possibly his grandmother's? Is this his buddy's?
No, that was Sarah.
Oh, right.
That was his love, Sarah. So we don't know.
So we don't know who she is.
They haven't met yet.
No.
We'll probably, I'm going to say, I'll give you 3-1 odds that Melanie Griffith plays Sarah.
Okay.
She's got a heck of a Romanian accent, everybody.
Okay.
Be on the lookout.
All right, so we leave that flashback, and then I guess we've covered all the flashback story. We'll get back to Abraham and F's visit to Ansel's place.
Right.
But the next thing we cut to is our fancy lawyer, and she's actually held up a bit. She's still able to speak English. She's able to see her kids. But
she's in great shape, yeah.
Compared to the other people. But the nanny could tell something's
well,
up.
Well,
hang
on.
Can tell.
Hang on. I don't know if she's in better shape. I mean, the other guy had his head smashed in. The other guy's wiener fell off, and the other guy's head was copped off. Yeah, so you're right. She's in slightly better condition.
Now, this is a terrible thing to ask here, Mork, but we got to get to it.
Let's
we know what
to
happened
it,
to Bolivar's.
Right.
What do you think happened to her?
That is a great
question.
Did it
seal up? Did it fall off? What's going on here?
I hope we find out. It does raise the interesting question. So the other three, quote unquote
survivors.
Right. Oh, well, I guess we can call them Strigoi. So the three Strigoi.
Right.
So Captain Redfern, Ansel, and Bolivar,
right.
Or Gabe.
They're all dudes.
They're
and
all dudes.
Most likely lost their junk.
And they all lost their junk. So does it, and Joan, is that the lawyer's name?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Joan is still fighting it off, so maybe does it affect men and women differently?
You know what? Strigoi, it's strong enough for a man, but made for
ammonia worm balanced
for a lady. Woman.
I don't know. I am looking forward to them showing it to us. And
all right, so
yes.
So I talked. So we see an intro to that scene later. It cuts back,
mm-hmm.
And I've already kind of gone over this scene about them getting the kids out,
right.
And the mother coming up. And it just to me, I was just tense. I was like, "Is the show going to show this woman killing her kids or killing
right.
the nanny? What's going to happen?" But she's going out for a run. Anything else you want to say about Evil Joan the lawyer, Strigoi, and what we could foresee happening there?
No, I'm excited to see where it goes next. I did love how quickly Neva, the nanny, got those kids in the car.
She's like, yeah.
They're
she is like, we're getting out of here. But
they're
did
not
you
around.
But Mork, this is something you mentioned. So Evil Joan the lawyer sees them sneaking out of the house and she comes down the stairs.
Yeah.
And what did Neva the nanny do?
Oh. Yes. Neva, quick thinking, but probably not the bravest, most altruistic person. Neva, if our amazing listeners will remember this, Neva actually hides behind the kids.
She puts the kids in between her
yeah.
and the monster.
She
that is one smart nanny.
That well, look, Neva doesn't get health insurance.
Right.
She doesn't get vacation days.
No.
She doesn't get sick days. Yeah, she's gonna hide behind the kids. I don't blame her at all.
Okay, so anything else you want to say about the story, or just fun? Just fun.
That was fun. It was fun.
All right, so now before they... Actually, I should point out that after Abe and F have done the dishes. Abraham comes up to F and he's saying all these things. He's like, help me, help me. You know, maybe we'll find some people who can help us at the next place. You know, we got to get all these people. But then Abraham also lays down the law. He's like, you know what? If I find out you get infected, I'll take care of you.
Right.
Youch.
Well, I bet you, yeah, no. I mean, Abe's not
messing
around.
He's the anti-Nora. He's like, you go near a worm or that blood, nice knowing you, Chuck.
I don't, hey, Abe's got a code. All right, Abe's got a code. Let me ask you this, Bubba. Now,
ask
and I'm not just asking you this.
I think you are.
Because you, in many ways, are still stuck in the 70s.
But
amen. Do you think that when Abe was telling him about, you know, everything that was going on and the truly dire circumstances they were facing,
yeah,
and that the world was about to end and humanity was on the brink,
true,
do you think that deep down F made the decision right then and there to stop wearing condoms?
Well, let me put it this way. Yeah. Somebody's got to wear them. People with BPS, no need.
Well,
we're going to lose lots of condom-making jobs.
Wouldn't it be easier to keep track of fallen appendage if it was in some sort of... I don't know. Let's move on.
Let's not. Let's stay here.
Let's drive this through town.
This is very disturbing. All right, so Abraham describes F as impractical, but also kind of, what did he say?
He's a romantic.
He's an impractical romantic.
So that's sort of like putting a condom on your BPS. It's,
You've put a condom on your BPS.
Yeah, you're just
pointless.
You're just wasting time. You know, I gotta say, another scene that I wasn't wild about, and I think we're coming up on one.
Sure, let's hear it.
I love where we ended up, but... You know, I'm going to place Alzheimer's mom, Nora's mom.
Nora's mom.
I'm going to place that right next to, boring custody battle. Who cares?
Right. For a long time, I did not care. But the fact that it led to this, what I thought was a complete shock of, oh my God, this outbreak is really happening. That made it fun. But do you want to think this is Chekhov's mom? By that I mean, where did we leave Nora? Nora's like, hey, I got into the CDC. I became a doctor. Oh, are you going to be a doctor? I'm already a doctor.
Yeah.
Is this Nora? She left, remember, saying, I want to cure people. I don't want to kill people. And is this Chekhov's meaning, we got to set up somebody she really cares about, besides F,
right,
who can become infective so she can be faced with that dilemma? Or is this just... This is Nora's side plot, getting mom to safety.
I don't know. I'd like to see it get a little crazy. I think we will after this episode. I do wonder, all of the Strigois we've seen thus far were fairly young.
Yeah, I want to see an old Strigoi.
You know, what's an old Strigoi going to be like? That's all. I'm just wondering.
I think it's a great, great question.
And after they eat someone's blood, will they stop to make eggs and then wash the dishes? That's what I'd like to know.
Right. Let me tell you something. Nora, you know, maybe the scene was really all about the reversal. Mom, you're not going home. You're staying here. This is your home. This is your home. This is your home. They see that monster. They're like, Mom, I got to get you home. And so, whoops, you know.
Bubba, I hate to cut you off here, but this is just another example of Nora not sticking to her guns. She made a decision.
There
was
exactly
good reasons.
Right.
The best place for her.
So
there's one Strigoi.
Give me a one lousy Strigoi.
Out of how many? Come on. They just got one. They're going to be all over the place pretty soon.
And listen, I love lovely Nora. We all know that. But she was looking kind of rough. Dealing with parents is tough.
I will take her off your hands, sir.
Now, Mark, you have recently dealt with a lot of dealing with parents.
Would you
leave a parent to the Strigoi? What do they have to do before you're like, you know what, just stay here with the Strigoi?
We don't have enough time. We don't have enough time.
Okay, another... Listen, another thing I...
Suffice to say, they've done it.
All right, another thing that's a bit, you know, it's kind of inconsistent, I guess is the nicest way to say it, is F, he doesn't call Zach twice, but he tries to call Nora twice. The phone call doesn't get through. Why? Because we saw in a previous episode, Stoneheart Group is shutting down the internet and cell phones. So easy to do. Just, hire a sexy female hacker.
Right.
But... Nora, it began with Nora getting a cell phone call saying, hey, come to the nursing, the retirement home or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of inconsistency there.
There is a lot of inconsistency.
We say this is inconsistent.
Thanks, Bubba. I appreciate it. It's been,
Our pronunciation has been inconsistent.
I appreciate you're absolutely correct. But I did just realize.
Oh, what?
Well, the internet is being shut down. It's going to slow to a crawl. Messages will not be able to get through.
That's exactly right.
Telephone calls. But maybe short, small messages that are only 140 characters long.
Oh, Twitter.
Is Twitter behind the Stoneheart Group?
Just throwing it out there. Twitter is evil. Good point. Now,
just
let me
throwing it out there.
What I was going to say is that it also might affect your download of this podcast, listener. So be sure, while you're running from the Strigoi, it's easier to get on Wi-Fi. Make sure you can download this.
Start downloading it,
our podcast,
then start
run
running,
Mr. Goy.
And then, if you're still alive, you'll have something to listen to.
Okay, so in between all this stuff, let's get to, you know, like I said, this episode jumped around a lot. It kept moving. I liked it. So we got back to Rebel Russian Exterminator.
Now, isn't that a little redundant?
R-R-E.
R-R-E, guys. R-R-E. I enjoy this guy.
He's a fun character, but once again, this is getting a bit crazy at certain points. So he goes into the office and he flirts with this kind of...
Can you blame him?
No. Are you kidding me? It is time to flirt.
No time. TTF, people.
But the way he flirts with her is by kind of trying to scare her, like, ugh! And then also trying to... She's like, yeah, we've got these jobs to do. And he's like, give it to somebody else. And she's like, lazy. Aunt tries to scare me. This is like, okay, Cupid hooked me up with this guy.
He's quite a catch. Maybe our lovely assistant at the exterminator place is going to get, she'll be torn between lazy and rude, or romantic and impractical.
Do you think it's possible that the next episode, you know, this episode ended with F telling Jim, he's like, hey, do your job. Do you think he'll go to this exterminator guy and like, look at all these jobs you didn't do. Do your job.
Could be.
He's then gonna go to Bolivar, and Bolivar, you're canceling your concert. Do your job.
Well, you know, it's tax dollars at work.
Okay. You know? So for whatever reason, she tells the story about how she saw rats on the subway, and he's like, boy, rats only run if they're afraid of a bigger prey or bigger vermin.
Yeah.
And so he decides kind of on his own, he's not gonna do his work.
Yeah.
You know, terrible. Don't look this guy up on LinkedIn. He's not a good worker. But he is just going to go down into the sewers, I guess, himself. And he comes across what we can only assume.
Mm-hmm.
And I am assuming. You know what happens when you assume? You make an ass out of you and the Strigoi.
R-R-E.
Right. And the R-R-E. So anyway, I assume those were the dead people from the flight, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, that's
living
them.
Living in the sewers.
That's them, absolutely.
But, and just like real vampires, what did they get burned on? The sun.
The sun. Or just New York City
air pollution.
Right,
yeah, like, yuck, what's that terrible smell?
Smells like hot dogs.
Now, I have to be honest, these evil monsters that were chasing him, he sees them get burned and run away from the sun.
Right.
So he's like, well, I guess I should close this and make them stop getting them burnt. Come on.
Yeah. No, that was not a great move.
So, okay. So once again, though, he survived. And that was a very, you know, I like this episode, but that was kind of like a horror movie cliche. He is literally surrounded by Strigoi, but he's like, I don't care.
All right. Now, I may have just had a slight realization.
Slight realization.
A slight realization.
Let's hear it.
Bubba, you just connected something for me in my feeble
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
What is the event that we're counting down to?
Oh, the eclipse, right?
Where there will be no sun.
Where there will be no sun, and the Strigoi will come out.
Oh, they're going to come out.
Strigoi come out at night, and eclipses the Strigoi come out at night.
Strigoi
come out.
I don't know the song.
You don't know Houdini's? The freaks come out at night.
Oh,
right?
God.
Freaks come out. All right, so we are off on a tangent. Go to iTunes and download Houdini's song, The Freaks Come Out at Night.
Yes.
All right, so let's go. So I think pretty much, you know what? There is one minor other thing we ought to get to as well, and that is our good friends at the Stoneheart Group. So
we
catch up on a guy. I thought his name was Mr. Palmer. They're calling him Ehrlich. I'm so confused
about
the names.
I think Ehrlich. Is Ehrlich the first name?
I'm so confused. Maybe Ehrlich Palmer.
Yeah.
So His doctor.
And what is Ehrlich Palmer backwards, Bubba?
Russian rebel exterminator.
Remlap Krille.
Good boy. Is that
Kilray?
Did you just have a stroke?
I may have just had a stroke,
and
I want to wish you the best of luck as you begin medical school.
All right. Well, no. Was there anything you wanted to comment on that scene other than it's like, Mr. Palmer, we can't do anything else for your life, and he's like, I'm going to go to a higher power, meaning the master, don't you think?
It could be, but it seems.
It seems.
Are there other things that they can do? What is the real relationship? Because Ehrlich Palmer, whatever his name is, poor man's Max von Sydow. He's already met the master several weeks ago.
Exactly, he
and
has.
Life isn't getting any better for him.
No.
So maybe F is not the only one who's impractical. That's
true.
All I'm saying.
Let me say, though, that you're saying he met him several weeks ago. Even though this is episode 5, is it a chance that... So the plane landed on like a Saturday night, I think, or maybe a Friday night. Is it a chance that this is really just Monday or Tuesday?
No, it's only a couple days ago. But okay. In my mind, it feels
it was weeks. Yeah.
They've been hanging out. He should have quicker access to, he doesn't need a new liver. He just needs to...
right, he needs some worms up his... He needs to drop his and then get some worms up his. All right, so you know what? We're getting too silly. Let's speaking of something that
serious.
Wasn't silly, F and Abraham show up at Ansel's place, and who do they see hanging from the rafters there, Joe?
Anne-Marie.
So she got the kids to safety. She put that in her suicide note.
Yeah.
But what do you think drove her to suicide? Was it... she says in the suicide note, it's missing Ansel. But is there anything... You think she was driven to suicide by feeding Ansel the neighbor? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think she was probably just scared. and that makes total sense. I mean, there are times in really scary movies where, honestly, if I was caught in that situation, I would just kill myself. So I think that's what she did.
No, suicide isn't the answer, especially on today, Mork. All right, now let's...
Moving on.
So we learn about another kind of vampire-y thing about the Strigoi, is that Abraham, he holds up a mirror to Anne-Marie, and he's like, hey, this is a silver mirror. Did you catch that? That like their image reverberates. It's not that they don't reflect in a mirror. It's that the image kind of reverberates in the mirror.
True that.
And so he sees, I assume, that she hasn't been wormed. But that leads them out to the shed. My bottle episode in the shed.
It could happen.
And it
could
also
still happen.
Leads... Does it lead... Is it your favorite scene with the iPhone? Is that what this leads to, Mork?
This is probably... Well, I mean, one thing. F, not only has he stopped drinking milk...
Right,
He's missed an opportunity for what could be the greatest opportunity... For a selfie.
Right, it's me and the Strigoi selfie.
Yeah, like he's got the silver nail gun. Like he could be doing something cool, but instead...
Right. Somebody attacking an evil monster, his look of one hand... The left hand is on the iPhone, the right hand is on the silver
gun. I'm actually...
That is not a macho look. That is not Indiana Jones right there. That's not James Bond. That is... I'm a big guy without a... Boulevard.
Yeah, he might as well have BPS. But one thing that I was actually surprised at with F is...
Yeah, let's hear it.
I was surprised he used the iPhone, because if F is believes in anything,
right,
it's preserving shooting on film. And if he, you know, just like Nora, abandoning her principles of...
Abandon it, Nora.
Of just keeping mom in the nursing home where she runs at Ray from and the Strigoi show up. I think F abandoned his principles here. I mean, if he really cared about film and making films on... Okay, let's...
Yes,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, so they go into the shed. There's Ansel. He gets his head chopped off. The neighbor is there suffering. The neighbor has not really turned yet. It doesn't matter. Abraham's going to take that mofo
Boom.
Shed. Conveniently, in the shed is some gasoline. Now, and while Abraham's out setting up all the gas, F is looking at his videos going, I've got just what I need to show Everett. Everett never believed in me, but with this video, he will.
He absolutely will. So they split up for a moment. Now, how does Abe get home?
Then once again, who knows? It's just like Nora drove with them to the previous house.
He probably
house.
Just took Anne-Marie's car.
Right.
Let's be honest. Do you think he's trying on any of Ansel's clothes?
No, he's trying on their clothes. He's cooking their food.
Yeah, this could be a real boon for the pawn shop. All of a sudden, there's a bunch of old stuff in there that he could sell. You know, it's just pure profit.
All right, now we get another flashback, the final flashback to his friend being split up. So where did Abraham go? We know that F goes to the CDC. Is Abraham just going to the next person on the list? So if you're infected with BPS and your name begins with like a Z, you're probably going to survive the longest.
Probably. I mean, you know, number one, Abe is old and he doesn't have
Abe
a car.
Is old.
And number two, the show might be canceled by then.
All right. So now I guess the final thing that we haven't talked about. Well, once again, we're seeing the part right now where the cleaner comes in and attacks Bolivar. Was there anything else you wanted to say about this? Just kind of fun and scary for sure.
It was fun, and I think it shows the world. The one thing I was confused is they sort of talk about it as his townhouse or apartment, but then there's
They call it the townhouse, but this looks like the place where the concert's happening.
So I was sort of confused. I do love our cleaner's name, Jack Noon.
Jack Noon.
Might be the
it's
best
me, Jack name. Noon. And it's high noon for your dead bodies.
That's exactly right. And for poor Jack.
And for poor everybody. So real fun scene. You knew the cleaner was going to die. You knew it had to happen. So even if the show is occasionally predictable, a lot of times they're... So this episode, I should say, they were good at building the suspense and at least kind of how is this guy going to die kind of has some fun ways to it. And so him shooting Bolivar and then kind of, you know, trying to get away, I thought that was good.
I thought it was great. Fun. It was a lot of fun, and I want to see more of it.
All right, so the final thing in the episode is, I think the episode ends on a bit of a down note, and it's our boy F. Our boy F going to the CDC, and who's there but Everett, but Jim is there as well. I mean, this isn't what I would call a real shock, but the fact that Jim was there actually did shock me a bit.
Just sort of milling about, and it brings to mind yet another...
Another.
Another... tried and true plot device.
Let's hear it.
That I think our guys...
Let's hear this. I want to see if I agree. Let's hear it.
Well, it's the old will they or won't they. But it's not going to be F and Nora. It's going to be F and Jim.
Oh, boy. Okay. That was not where I was going. Well. And let me say, I don't think that's happening. So, all right, before we get to F and Jim, what is going on? Everett sees this video. So this is either... F is showing you Everett, like a fake YouTube video.
Right.
Or he's showing you this guy really sick, shooting out with a tongue worm. Why does Everett not seeming to care about
well,
that?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you.
I want to know.
I'll tell you. And this is probably going to be a spoiler for some of you who haven't listened to the DVD commentary yet of The Strain on FX.
And it won't be out for several months, so that's good.
Well, it's a spoiler alert.
Let's hear it.
Everett hates surprise parties.
He does.
And this could be another ruse. He's
a ruse.
Got a birthday coming up. He hasn't seen Nora. Nora's famous. She's famous for her red velvet cake.
Amen.
And, you know, maybe he thinks that they're trying to lure him into the conference room where...
Oh, yeah.
Boom. He'll get slightly embarrassed.
I'm getting boned by this worm.
No, not that kind of surprise.
All right, so I want to go into this next part for
Let's
a
do
bit.
It.
And that is that I have a theory, and not to shoot down your will they or won't they theory, but it has been shot down.
What about my surprise? My
surprise
he hates surprise
party also terrible. All right,
oh,
but
come on.
Here's
it could
my
happen.
Thing. I think Jim is still evil. So he gets F out of there, but as he's getting F out of the CDC, he's like, give me your phone.
The phone.
He's like, give me your phone, give me your phone.
Right.
And F is like, no, no, no. He's like, but they can trace you. And then F just gives him the SIM card.
Right.
And so I think we're supposed to believe that Jim has repented and sees that, you know, I was wrong.
Man.
And he lets F get away. But a part of me wonders if not Jim is still evil working for Stoneheart. And I think that would be a great twist. Because right now, and in the last episode where he took the punch, it feels like they want to redeem Jim. We saw that his wife really does have cancer.
Right.
But part of me thinks Jim is still evil and still working for Stoneheart.
That would be a great twist. I think there's something there.
Okay.
I think this is not you. You know, some, Bubba is one of the more paranoid podcasters in town.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean?
I'm not going to tell you.
What are you saying?
I'm not going to tell you.
Is there something wrong?
There's nothing wrong.
Okay. I'm not paranoid at all, am I? Am I?
Have some milk.
Hold on. Let me see if anybody's written that. Oh, yummy.
Milk.
All right, so what do you think? What do you this once again? I didn't think this was the greatest cliffhanger ending to end on.
Oh, I didn't even care. I think we're in the middle of it, and they ran out of time.
Oh, it is going down. It is going down.
I think we're about to have some fun.
I thought we were going to see the AA meeting again. There's no way we're going back to that AA meeting. We are not going back to custody hearings. There will certainly be there will be more drama with beautiful, delicious Kelly and toe-headed Zach. And Matt from Sears, there will be more drama about them.
Right.
But it won't be custody hearing drama.
Yeah.
This is, New York is going to Stagory in a handbasket.
Absolutely. It's going there. And let's, what do you even call these things now? With the tongue sucker claw?
Right.
What are they called?
What are the anatomy? You know, like they used to call, in Aliens, they would call the one that would impregnate you the face hugger.
The face hugger.
And then they had the... Yeah, what did they call it? I don't know. Now, once again, hey, if you have read the books, please don't spoil us. Why not tell us what they call this appendage that we've been calling the worm tongue that jumps out and sucks people's blood? Why not send us a tweet and let us know some of the knowledge that we may be frustrating you that we don't know? You can reach us on Twitter, Bubba and Mork. You can reach us at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so Mork... once again, let's just wrap up this show.
I was saying
write to us on Twitter and tell us what that is. An ending of a podcast. Mork, do you listen to podcasts? You're not on Twitter,
Bubba,
because of
they're going to jump right. They're going to jump right into it.
Okay.
They're going to jump. They're probably telling us what the face thing that whatever majiggy is.
All right, but this is the end of the episode.
Yeah.
We've watched 5 now. Are you glad you've committed to, I guess, 8 more episodes of this first season?
I'm very glad now, but I'm a little I'm still skeptical of the timeshare that you sold me between episodes 1 and 2.
That is a great point.
But maybe it's season 2. It'll be worth it by then.
All right, so let's have a crazy prediction. We're going to start something new this week.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy prediction, and the prediction is something that has to happen in the next episode.
Oh my gosh!
So it's not like, hey, in the future things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse.
Right.
But I want a prediction in the next episode. Episode, something that you either want to see or you think will happen in the next episode. Let's hear it.
Well, New York is known for its late night after hours spots.
Right. Okay.
And I've never really visited one of those.
What about their brunch spots? Their hottest brunch where you dress up and you look nice. You never visited one of those?
I not in a while. But I would like to see somebody tripping on one of those mouthworms. That's what I'd like to see.
That would be good.
Yeah.
That's a great. You know what? Here's my prediction. I guess just because you said that, it inspired me to say this. I want to see somebody other than Abraham and F kill one of these things.
Oh,
this is New York City.
Yeah,
people have weapons. People have baseball bats. People have. If somebody's trying to tongue
so
you,
who's all right? So this will be. A bet not
for
money, but for whatever remaining honor we have left.
All right, let's hear it. What's the
bet? Who will kill between these two characters, who will
you
kill...
You mean Abraham and F?
No. Who will kill the first Strigoi between...
Oh, okay, let's hear it, yeah.
Between Rogue Russian Exterminator...
Rogue Russian Exterminator is option one.
Or Gus.
Ooh.
Who's going to kill the first one?
Oh, boy, that is good. Question. I'm going to say, if I had to guess, I'm going to say Gus. We saw Gus with his gun sleeping by his bedside. And so I think I'm going to go with Gus to be the first one to kill a Strigoi before Russian Exterminator does. What do you think? That was a great question.
I don't know. I'm going to say, you know, we didn't see Gus this week, so my money would probably be on him. You know, it just occurred to me, significant portions of those Jerry Jones pictures were pixelated. Maybe Jerry Jones is a Strigoi.
If he is, write to us on Twitter. Also, hey, give us those iTunes reviews. It helps other people, other fans of Milk, UV lights, and worms find our podcast. So go to iTunes and please give us a review. So, If that's it for that this week, you good, Mork?
I'm great. Thanks, Bubba.
So we will hear you next time on
Got Your Milk!